This is Think Smart with TMFG, your weekly podcast of what's newsworthy and relevant to everyday Canadians, with your host, Senior Financial Advisor Rob McClelland and Mike Conan of Asante Capital Management. Today on Think Smart with TMFG, Mike and I are going to be discussing how to beat the stock market.
This is going to be a big podcast.
Mike, this could be our best podcast ever. So to get started, I thought we would lay out the framework. So we went back and, you know, we all hear about Warren Buffett and how what a great investor he's been, but someone had to teach Warren Buffett his tricks. So here's what Warren Buffett's teacher believed in. He said, the best way of measuring your investment success is not by whether you're beating the market, but by whether you've put a financial plan in place and a behavioral discipline that are likely to get you where you want to go.
And that's from Benjamin Graham, right?
That was.
Yeah. And he was, I think it was the Graham Dodd book on finance, I believe it was. And I remember when I started the industry, they said, that's your Bible.
So number one is you, rather than worrying about beating the market, you need to get a plan in place. Number two, here's his tip number two. You rebalance your portfolio on a regular basis, at least annually. So we're going to start with that. But what got me thinking about how to beat the market was I had a client recently come into our office and he wanted to put his entire portfolio in the US stock market. And more specifically, he wanted to really concentrate that portfolio in the best performing stocks in the US stock market. I thought back to an investment strategy that you and I had in our history called Universal Select Managers. It was put out by Mackenzie Financial. He was and still is a big mutual fund company in Canada today. And the idea behind the fund was they were going to pick their five best global managers.
The best of the best, it was
the best of the best. And so they had a full stable of managers to choose from, but they had selected five managers.
And they said, give me your, was it five or 10 best picks? I can't remember.
Five picks each. Yep. So their best five picks each. So five times five, you got 25 picks of the best managers picking their best ideas or best stocks that they think are going to outperform and beat the market. The fund started strong, gathered a ton of money. Investors were really excited. Financial advisors were really excited. Money was flowing in, millions and millions of dollars every day flowing into this fund. It was an absolute disaster. It was extremely volatile. The returns were well below the market. And it was a valuable lesson for me in that this strategy makes no sense.
They should have called it the ego fund. It was based on everyone's egos. And I guess the problem was if you say to someone, you stroke their ego and you say, you're the best manager in there. We want your five picks. Are you going to pick any of your standard stocks or just normal? You're not going to pick Royal Bank or anything like that. That's going to be a pretty stable type of holding. They were all shooting out the lights on every pick. And when you have five managers picking their five stocks, they think they're going to shoot lights out. That's just asking for disaster.
So let's look at this question about why wouldn't we just put all of our money in the S&P 500 or more specifically in the top seven stocks in the S&P 500 over the last 10 years?
They're pretty attractive now, those stocks, aren't they?
They're extremely attractive. So let's start with number one. By picking the U.S. alone, and I can see why over the last 10 years, the U.S. stock market has delivered almost 15% a year, whereas the rest of the markets are closer to 6 or 7%. So that alone means it's had almost double the return. By concentrating it in just seven of those stocks, you could maybe double that 15%. Maybe you could get 30% a year. That sounds really good, Mike. I think we should do that.
Yeah.
So let's talk about it. Number one, we're becoming less diversified by just US only. We're now becoming less diversified by just going with the top seven stocks. And we're becoming less diversified because a lot of those stocks are just technology. And so I guess the question is, when is it a good idea to do the following? Number one, become less diversified. Number two, chase the winners in the market. Number three, become extremely concentrated in your investment portfolio. And finally, number four, move to an extremely more volatile portfolio. In the calendar year 2022, these stocks were down between 30 and 40% for every one of them.
And the other thing that goes against intuition, we've studied finance for a long time and we've had some great research done. And we know that things have come up in history that says value outperforms growth over time, right? We also find that research, one of the few things they've shown, small cap outperforms large cap over time. So what are all those Magnificent Seven stocks? What type of stocks are they?
Well, we're seeing Apple.
Mega cap.
We saw Tesla was in there.
High growth.
Microsoft.
That's again, mega capital, mega size.
NVIDIA,
extraordinarily high growth.
So we forgot that category. Not only are we moving technology, but we're invested in growth companies.
Yeah.
So let's talk about why investors get it wrong. Number one, they propose, in short, to take on more volatility. But I don't think investors are thinking, when you're putting me in the top 10, they're not doing the math. They're going, no, these are the best companies in the world. They don't relate that to taking on more volatility. And number two, most investors don't need that extra return. They're taking unnecessary risk to try and capture that return. What's number two, Mike? What are they proposing to do? How are they going to get to just these seven stocks?
Well, they're going to undiversify themselves. So they have to move out of other holdings. And some holdings that were put into plan for a long term to achieve these results that you're going to have to remove and start to put a high concentration on these seven stocks and probably incur taxes along the way too.
One of the great destroyers of invested wealth is money that you've put aside to grow, is mindless panic. And what happens here is we're back to that investor behavior. You feel like you're falling behind because everyone's getting rich. They're getting rich on Bitcoin. They're getting rich on these seven stocks. They're getting rich on the U.S. stock market. Why did that stupid advisor of mine diversify me around the world? That makes no sense. They're trying to chase performance. And so why don't we just, the hot new thing today is what, Mike? What is it?
NVIDIA.
So why don't, forget the seven, why don't we just move the whole portfolio to NVIDIA? We'll become a shareholder in NVIDIA. We'll double down and we'll put all our money in one stock. Does that make any sense?
Great company, but the risk that you put added to your portfolio is tremendous.
So what are some other, what does history teach us about what's happened in the past?
Well, I guess we're lucky to have lived in Canada to get a real lesson through our Nortel experience. And, you know, I know a lot of podcasts, we go back to Nortel, but Nortel at one time was 40% of the Canadian marketplace and it went to zero. So we really learned that size and all this, we learned our lessons in Canada. If anyone was to do that again with having the experience of been through Nortel in Canada, it would just be, I don't know how you would do it. That means you've learned no lessons from the past.
I think it's interesting, in the past, you know, we always heard, you know, we went through the tech boom and bust. We went through the real estate boom and bust, the internet stock boom and bust. There were some great companies there that boomed and went bust. Your advisor, if they're a good advisor, has learned that diversification is your friend. Chasing booming stocks, growth stocks, is not your friend. It never ends well. Part of the problem is because you're buying typically high and your sole objective is to sell it later on to someone else at a higher price. Call it the sucker. You're trying to sell to the sucker at a higher price. You know you're paying a ridiculously high price when you buy that stock,
yep,
but you think the end is still far away from where it is today. So let's take a moment, and I went to chat. I figured chat could really help us with this.
You're supporting NVIDIA, right, on this?
Well, I went to chat and said, give me some strategy. Give me 10 strategies to beat the market. And I had no idea what was going to come out. And what's good about chat is that's taking all the knowledge that is out there in the marketplace that's been written about and podcasts and whatever. It's got current information and old information, and it's got the amazing ability to concentrate it and to take all the best of the best and put it together. And here's what it came up with. Came up with 10 different strategies to beat the market. What's number one, Mike?
Educate yourself. Learn about investment strategies and market conditions.
That sounds pretty boring.
Yep.
But we'll educate ourselves. Number two.
Two is develop a strategy. So align your investment goals with your risk tolerance. Well, that makes a lot of sense.
So that means we're setting up our goals first and then our risk tolerance. We haven't even talked about investments. We're figuring out what we're trying to accomplish.
Yeah.
Number three,
diversify. Spread investments across different sectors and asset classes.
Number four.
Stay informed. Keep up to the market news and economic indicators.
Number five.
Is use technology. Leverage advanced tools for market analysis.
So far we've got some pretty basic stuff. We've got educate ourselves, develop a strategy based on your risk tolerance, diversify, keep informed as to what's going on, and use some technology to analyze what's going on in the market and in individual holdings. What else is there? So we've covered five. We've got some basic stuff.
So next five would be, number six would be monitor and rebalance. So regularly review and adjust your portfolio.
Number seven.
Focus on the long term. Prioritize long-term growth over short-term gains.
So long-term growth, that doesn't sound like we should move it all to the U.S. market and specifically to seven or maybe just one stock. Number eight.
Manage risks. Implement strategies like stop-loss orders to protect investments.
Okay, so that's getting a little more complicated now. Number nine.
Nine was learn from mistakes. Reflect on trained outcomes to improve decision-making.
And what about number 10?
Stay disciplined. Maintain your strategy despite market fluctuations.
So when you start to dissect these 10 things, there's a little bit in there about, you know, following what's going on and so on. But nowhere does it say, pick the investments that have had the best return over the last 10 years and put all of your money in there. Not one of those 10 ideas.
So rather than put your money in the NVIDIA that's creating the chips, why are you taking NVIDIA's advice on how you should manage your money?
Is beating the market easy?
I'd like to say impossible. It's almost close to impossible over a long period of time.
I would definitely agree. I think it's close to impossible over the long period of time. Do most of our clients need to beat the market?
Not at all. It's funny, we just had a discussion with our, we have a lot of young staff we've hired. If you've been in our office, you may have noticed that. We started talking about savings and how important it is to save at a young age and how well compounded returns work over time. And how if you just make sure, if everyone in the world would just maximize their RSPs, they'd probably have an okay retirement. If they started at 20 years old to do that till, you know, 60 years old, they'd probably have a pretty good situation. And it's absolutely 100% true. The only thing you do is screw it up by getting silly on the investments and over-concentrating in one area, because the markets will give you a return that will allow you to have a great life. If you start to fight that, you'll lose that great life and waste all that savings you've done.
So I then decided to flip the question around to chat. And I said, what are 10 ways to ensure you're not going to beat the market? And I thought this was almost as interesting as the first 10 on beating the market. Number one was lack of research. Number two was ignoring risk management. Number three, chasing performance. And yet that's the very thing the client wanted to do, thought it was a better strategy. Number four, overtrading. Number five, timing the market. Six, following hot tips. Number seven, letting emotions drive your decisions. Number eight, failing to review and adjust. Number nine, ignoring fees. And number 10, expecting quick profits.
Couldn't have said it better.
That brings us to the end of another week. Thank you for joining us. This is Rob and Mike with Think Smart from the McClellan Financial Group of Asante Capital Management, reminding you to subscribe so that you can have your best retirement ever.
been listening to the McClelland Financial Group of Asante Capital Management Limited. Asante Capital Management Limited is a member of the Canadian Investor Protection Fund and the Investment Industry Regulatory Organization of Canada. Insurance products and services are provided through Asante Estate and Insurance Services Incorporated. This material is provided for general information and is subject to change without notice. Every effort has been made to compile this material from reliable sources. However, no warranty can be made as to its accuracy or completeness. Before acting on any of the previous information, please make sure to see a professional advisor for individual financial advice based on your personal circumstances. The opinions expressed are those of the authors and not necessarily those of Asante Capital Management Limited.